The reading this morning perhaps has something to say to us about facing our demons with some help. I'm reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city, who had demons, met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Thanks be to God.
I was a bit tempted to do a sermon entitled "From the Pig's Perspective." However, it could only end badly, with something along the lines of, "That's not fair. Ah, glug, glug, glug." No? And cue several jokes with a punchline along the lines of, "Jesus saved my bacon." Wouldn't that be a great sermon title? Anyway, I decided that perhaps it wasn't the pigs that we needed to concentrate on today, but the people, Elijah the prophet and Legion the outcast. Both the main characters in the story are on their own and high up, hidden away from others. Elijah has fled in fear of his life after the amazing heights of victory on Mount Carmel and the way God answered his prayers and showed his presence. Having challenged political powers and humiliated the king, showing up their reliance on false gods, now we find Elijah isolated, feeling like he's all alone, all that's left, depressed and demanding God show himself again to hear his complaint. Challenging power from the margins is an exhausting and lonely place. It isn't a popular move. The powerful seem to own all the loudest voices and can get their message out wider and faster, deny responsibility, discredit sources, distract attention, deflect blame. It's very difficult to be the lone voice. Even though we know that a tiny rudder can change the course of the largest ship, no one sets out to be the one that's fixed underwater out of sight, because the weight of setting a truer course is so great. So Elijah escapes to the mountain of God, the same place, as I said, that Moses had his encounter with God, when he received the commandments and was struck dumb with the awesomeness of being mortal and meeting God. Now, Elijah, after facing out the prophets of Baal and defeating them, exhausted and determined to have it out with God himself, drags himself through the desert, which we know is a place you don't go unless you have to, through the desert, sustained by the kindness of God, who meets his basic human needs for the journey, to rail at the unfairness of it all. It's real woe is me stuff from Elijah. Instead of being struck dumb like Moses, Elijah had a very different meeting with God. He doesn't meet him in another powerful meteorological show of strength. Wind and earthquake and fire don't contain God at all. Instead, it's in complete silence that Elijah finds the presence of God. Almost like all the anger and pain and desperation that Elijah felt can only be met when it's been emptied out. Silence, the calm after the storm. That's when God speaks and repeats what could be interpreted as the most annoying question in the world. What are you doing here, Elijah? As if God didn't know. He ought to have known just what Elijah had been going through. And anyway, Elijah had already told him once before the silence of God took hold of that mountaintop. And having listened to Elijah explain again all that he'd suffered for God's sake, God then gave him a job to do and reminded him that he's not alone. In fact, there were many more than Elijah that Elijah wasn't even aware of, but who were also lovers of God and part of God's bigger picture. Elijah had fallen into the trap of imagining all he knew was all there was. But God is God and readjusts Elijah's perspective and sends him back to work down in the valley where God's presence is really to be found, in amongst human community and political power and creating a future for humanity, overcoming human tyrants and overthrowing the systems that humans develop to promote their own aspirations towards divinity, to be useful, to have a purpose, to remain part of the mission of God. This is part of God's restoration of Elijah's soul. Our lives always have a purpose. And sometimes we need God's silence in order to find it. Our encounter with Legion, on the other hand, well, that occurs after another storm on the Lake Galilee. The disciples had witnessed the power of Jesus and were asking themselves the question, who then is this that even the wind and waves obey when he commands them? As they landed on the other side of the lake, they're confronted with a human storm, you might say, up on the hillside. Legion had been cast out of his community. He was literally alone because people were afraid of him. They tried to chain him, but to no avail. Everything about this man pointed to his dehumanization, from his nakedness to his chains, chains that bound him beyond the community, both inner and outward chains. It says he lived in the dead places among the tombs. It's a picture of complete hopelessness. He was out of control, beyond care, to such an extent that it's his darkness that names him and the spirit of darkness that converses with Jesus. And so many are cut off by what are often called their inner demons. and their restlessness today, experiencing depression, anxiety, bullying, self-loathing, betrayal, grief, pain, uncertainty about life and the future, so many ways of naming the legion that captivates our senses and leads us to feel cut off from others, unable to make our voice heard. Still, there was enough of legion left to seek Jesus' presence and to cry out to him. This man's life was chaos, and following on from the chaos of the lake, Jesus demonstrated again the power he had to love and bring order. He really did restore this man's soul, as well as his body and his mind. And that's the drama and the hope of it. There's all kinds of symbolic stuff in the pigs. There's all kinds of excitement and drama about pigs. But the point of this story will always be the way that Jesus gives this man back his home, his place in his community. He found peace to sit with Jesus and talk. In that sense, Jesus calmed his inner storm. And that's where the real meaning of this story lies, of course. The out-of-control, rejected one became an ambassador for God's hope. Legion wanted to go with Jesus, but instead Jesus tells him the purpose of his life is to share his story of transformation, and it inspired the people around him with awe and fear, so much fear, actually, that they were afraid enough to ask Jesus to leave. Not everyone welcomes the transformation that Jesus brings. Not everyone is ready to hear the voice of God. Elijah and Legion both cried out to God in the midst of the storm in their lives. It almost seems to be a human instinct that when we're facing circumstances beyond our strength, we reach out for that which is beyond us, for God. Elijah and Legion both cried out for God. One of my favorite quotes, you'll have heard me use it a lot. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." And restlessness arrives out of all kinds of different contexts. We even bring a sort of restlessness here with us today. You might liken almost this place sometimes to the mountaintop or the hillside. We come here to cry out to God in one way or another, asking God to speak to us, to fill us, to restore our souls from the restlessness of our lives. Sometimes it's really hard to find the kind of stillness that our lives need in order to overcome the demands it places on us. Sometimes we need the stillness when our lives have been so frantic with demands. Sometimes because boredom or lack of fulfillment is what's hitting us. Sometimes it's too much success that goes to our heads, and then we come crashing back down to earth. And the awareness of the neglect of those we should have been most to, should have given most to. Sometimes there's an unexpected crisis which shatters our arranged existence and catches us like a whirlwind, turning us over and over emotionally till we feel empty and exhausted. Sometimes it's physical change of circumstances, like Elijah, but sometimes it struggles with our inner demons like Legion. But the hope of the gospel is in the presence of God, who brings healing and salvation and a different way of life. Their common cry to God reminds us that we too can do the same when faced with our own places of darkness. Whether we are tired of the battle to bring challenge and change to attitudes of prejudice, hatred, and selfishness, or whether it's just enough to battle with our own self. This is, of course, again, the power of that abiding image for us of the prodigal, meeting a father's outstretched arms, waiting to receive his child. Both Elijah and Legion find those arms extended towards them when they cry out for help. We too will find the same open arms extended towards us when we call out to God. To the God we know in Jesus Christ, who invites us both to cry out and to witness to what he has done in our lives. Both those things together, for both Elijah and Legion, and not just them, always for us. The search for silence and God, the ability to cry out, and then the encouragement to tell others just what God has done for you. We have many storms still to face, of course. We're going to sing